There was once a man, and he was a very wealthy man. He was single, he wasn't married, didn't have any children, didn't have too many responsibilities. He decided he wanted to go on a trip. He wanted to go on a lavish, exciting, luxurious trip. And he did research, and he found an island that was supposed to be the most beautiful island. And on that island, he looked into it and found the nicest hotel on the island. This hotel had all the luxuries and delicacies and anything you could imagine. And in the hotel, he took out the nicest suite in the entire hotel. And he went for a week to relax, to enjoy. He's swimming in the gorgeous water in the ocean, surrounded by corals and gorgeous tropical fish. And his bed, it was the most comfortable bed he's ever had in his life. He was loving it. The food was delicious. Living it up on this island. One night he's sleeping, and it's about 3 o'clock in the morning, fast asleep, and he starts hearing, screaming and yelling. And he gets up, puts on his bathrobe. You know, they had those comfortable bathrobes like you have in the expensive hotels. And he goes out into the hallway and people are running. He says, "What's going on? What's happening? Why is everyone screaming?" So one of the workers in the hotel says, "Don't worry, everything's okay by now. A few hotels down, there was a terrible fire. Mom is a terrible, horrendous fire. But don't worry. Our drummers of the island drummed their drums and the fire was put out. Everything's fine, go back to sleep." 3 o'clock in the morning, he doesn't think much of it. He's tired, he's exhausted, so he just goes back to sleep. He wakes up in the morning, he starts thinking, what does that mean? Okay, there was a fire, and Baruch Hashem, they put it out. What does it mean, the drummers drum their drums to put out the fire? Drums don't generally put out fires. So he thinks to himself, and he came up with the following conclusion. It must be that on this island, they have magic drums. And these drums put out fires. That's awesome. That's incredible. Now the entire time he was there, he had this very close to the chevra. It was like 10 of them. They were very close and always spent time. And the whole time he's there, he's thinking he wants to bring each of his friends something special. A souvenir. And he didn't know what he's going to bring them. Now he got it. The next day, he goes into the city where the island was, where the stores were. And he finds the local music store and he walks inside. He says, "Do you have the drums that help put out the fire? If there's a fire, God forbid." "Of course we sell those drums. How many would you like?" "I'd like to take 10. The owner was very excited, a big sale. He sells this man, again, the man was very rich, no big deal. He sells him these drums, and the guy's all excited. What better present than magic drums? He's going to bring home these magic drums. He's going to change the lives of all of his entire neighborhood. They're never going to have to worry if there's a fire." He finally gets home. And a couple of nights ago, he threw a big barbecue at his house. All his friends would come over. He was going to tell them all about the trip, all the details, all that he saw, all that he experienced. And they all come over. And he tells them about everything. And they all have to go there, how beautiful it was. He says, "And by the way, on this island, they have magic drums. There was a fire and they drummed their drums to put out the fire. And not only that, I bought a drum for each and every one of you." And he gives out the drums and he says, "If we ever have a fire, And they all lived, by the way, one next to another. It was like 10 of them, 10 houses on a row. If we ever have a fire, we'll beat our drums. Fire will be put out because it's awesome. They're all excited. That's great. A couple months later, one of his friends is cooking some schnitzel and somehow it caught on fire. The house, the wall starts to catch on fire. Quickly runs outside. Guys, guys, all come together. I'm going to have a fire in my house. We got to put out the fire. Let's beat our drums. And they all get their drums and they go in like a little drum circle and they're beating their drums and beating their drums and the fire is getting bigger and bigger and it already burns down the first house, it's catching for the second house and they're beating, we must not be beating hard enough, and they beat harder and faster and the fire just continuously spreads to the next house. Then maybe we have to beat slower and they start to beat slower and it's continuously, it's just catching on house after house until finally the fire goes out because it has nothing left to catch on to. It burnt down the entire block. Every one of their homes was burnt down to the ground. And they're all angry was not the word. We can't imagine how sad and upset. The entire, all their houses burned down. These weren't magic drums. What's going on? And they were screaming and yelling at this guy. You told us that. And he says, I was told they're magic drums. There was a fire in the hotel. Let's put out one. So he decides he has to fly back. And he flies back to the island. And he goes to the music store. He says, starts screaming and yelling, I'm going to sue you for everything you're worth. My entire block, all my friends, our houses burnt down because of you. You told me these were magic drums. We beat the drums. No fire went out. And the owner starts laughing and says to this man, you fool! You asked me to purchase drums to help put out the fire. And that's what I gave you. There's no such thing as magic drums. These drums help to put out the fire. In our city, we have a very excellent fire department. But how does the fire department know if there's a fire? The signal to tell the volunteer firemen that it's time to come and put out a fire are these drums. When we beat these drums, the firemen hear the drums and they know that they have to come put out the fire. That's the alarm. That's the signal. That's the wake-up call. But ultimately, it's the firemen that put out the fire. Girls, a few days ago with Rosh Chodesh El. Just a few days ago. And on Rosh Chodesh El, we started to blow shofar. And we've been blowing shofar every morning. And as we get closer to Rosh Hashanah, we had other mitzvos and minhagim. There are special tefillos called slichos that we add in. And Rosh Hashanah itself, we hear the shofar 100 times. And we daven all day in shul. And then we'll do all different types of what are called simanim. I'm sure you all remember. And we have an apple and we'll dip it in honey. And we'll eat all types of strange fruits and vegetables to remind us to hopefully daven to have a year of simcha and bracha. And then we'll have a seres yimei tshuva. And maybe a lot of us will shlug kaparas. We'll take a chicken over and we do all different types of interesting mitzvos and minhagim. And then eventually, Yom Kippur. We're going to fast all day and not wash ourselves and daven and shul all day. And then hear the final shofar blow. One final Tekiyah Gedola. But are doing all of these symbolisms, is that enough? Is it enough to hear shofar? Is it enough to dip an apple in honey? Is it enough even to daven? All of these mitzvos and minhagim, all of them. That's us beating our drum. That's us beating our drum as our wake-up call to tell us, I gotta put out the fire. And what is our fire? It's whatever area each and every one of us need to grow in. Whatever area we need to work on. Hashem wants us to change, to grow, to be better people. He doesn't just want us to listen to a shofar. He doesn't just want us to dip apple in honey. He wants us to always be growing, always be working on ourselves. Be better today than I was yesterday. And that's what tshuva is. And that's what these days are for. To do tshuva, to improve, to grow. But then I know some of us think it's just too much to handle. Like, let's be real. I'm not ready to totally change myself. And when we stop and think about it, there's so much I have to improve. There's so many areas I need to grow in. Like I stop every area of my life I have to be better in. So where do I start? And then we don't do anything. But then we're just beating a drum. I'll listen to shofar and I'm going to go to shul Rosh Hashanah and I'll fast on Yom Kippur. But those are all the drums. What about the change? So I want to share with you one Torah this morning, girls. And it's a Torah that I learned when I was not much older than most of you. This is a Torah that I learned, that I heard from a very big tzaddik when I was in 11th grade in high school in MTA. Rav Binyamin Yudin. The big tzaddik, he's a rav in Fairlawn, New Jersey. He came and spoke on Sum Gedalios right around this time of the year, right after Rosh Hashanah. And he said over the following Torah, and I think about it every year at this time of the year. And it gives us a practical way that we can improve and grow and not feel that it's too much to handle. There's a medrash in Parshas Vayeshev that discusses and explains who was the first person in the history of the world to ever do tshuva. Who was the first? And the Medrash says the first person to do tshuva was Reuven. What did Reuven do? After Yosef HaTzadik, you know? Right after Yosef was put into the pit, into the bar, when his brothers threw him in the pit, you all know the story. Reuven was the one who went back to try to save him. Now when he got there, he was already taken out. He didn't know that. But that act of going back to try to save him, the Medrash says, was the first case of tshuva in the Torah. Many asked, the Beis Halevi and others, this is the first case of tshuva. We have other medrashim. One says Adam did tshuva after he sinned from the Eitz Hadas. There's another medrash that Cain did tshuva after killing Hevel. So what does it mean this is the first case of tshuva in the Torah? It's not. There were previous acts of tshuva. So listen to what Rabbi Yudin said. Rabbi Yudin said, other people did tshuva before. Adam sinned and did tshuva. Cain sinned and did tshuva. Which are the classic types of tshuva. When you think about tshuva, you think about I'm doing something wrong and I have to improve and I have to change. Says Reuven did a different type of tshuva. Reuven was the first person in history to do tshuva on a mitzvah. Reuven was the first person to take something he was already doing good and do it better. I'm already doing it, but I could do it even better. Reuven, if you look and read the storyline, I'm sure many of you learned this, all the other brothers wanted to kill Yosef. Who was the one that said, let's not kill him and just throw him into the pit? It was Reuven. So Reuven already did something good. He already saved his life. Then he went and he was thinking about it And he said, I did good, but I didn't do good enough. I could do better. And he went back to pull him out of the pit. He did tshuva on a good act. Tshuva on a mitzvah. He was the first in history to do tshuva on a mitzvah. Sometimes when we're doing things that are wrong and need such strong improvement, it's very hard. But you know where we could start if we really do at least care to change during these days and take the days of Elul seriously as we prepare for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? Let's look into even what we're doing already. Maybe it's our davening. Maybe it's the way we dress. Maybe it's Shabbos Kodesh, which we're already keeping, but I could improve it. Let's think about one thing in our life, making brachos. We make brachos, but can we make them more clearly and with more kavana and slower? Something I might be doing already, but I could do it better. That too is tshuva. And that I could go into our Shonim Kippur and say, I'm doing more, I'm doing better, Hashem. Not just go through the motions of beating the drum and listening to shofar, but actually growing, actually changing. This El, this Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, but it has to start now to think of what I'm going to grow in, what I'm going to improve. And again, it could be something that I'm doing already, but I'm going to do it better. I'm going to work on it and make a real change in my life this year. You know, there's a big tzaddik who I have a little bit of a relationship with, Rav Ephraim Waxman. He lives in Muncie. He's a Rosh Yeshiva, a very special person. He once told a story how he was in the car. He was once in the car somewhere, and somehow he was with this older Jew, this Alter Yid. And they started talking, and he found out this older Jew learned in Europe, in the town of Radin, under the Chafetz Chaim. We all have heard of the Chafetz Chaim. You think the Chafetz Chaim, Mamish, he must have lived hundreds of years ago, such a tzaddik, like an angel, a walking malach. Chafetz Chaim was nifter in the early 1930s. There are still people alive that met the Chafetz Chaim, very few. So this older Jew learned by the Chafetz Chaim. I once got a bracha from a tzaddik who met the Chafetz Chaim, who learned by the Chafetz Chaim. So Waxman's in the car with this older Jew and he says to him, you knew the Chafetz Chaim, you learned by the Chafetz Chaim. That's crazy. It's incredible. Could you tell me one story? Something you remember firsthand from the Chafetz Chaim? So he starts thinking, he says, you know, I was there at the end of his life. He wasn't so well, he used to be in the house most of the time. But I'll tell you one story. One day I got a letter from home that my sister was very sick and needed a refuah. Could I go to the Chafetz Chaim to get a bracha? And for a day or two I was really thinking about how I'm going to do this because I was afraid. The Chafetz Chaim was so holy. I was embarrassed and I was afraid to walk into him. I couldn't do it. Eventually I got a telegram said the situation got even worse. Please get a bracha from the Chafetz Chaim. So I knew I had to go for my sister. So I go to Chafetz Chaim's house and I knock on the door. I walk in to the Chafetz Chaim and I couldn't get words out of my mouth. I was in such awe of the Chafetz Chaim, I couldn't get words out of my mouth. I just took the letter and the telegram and I literally put it down on the table in front of the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim looks at it and reads it. And he looks up at me and he says, I'm not giving you a bracha. Taken aback. He says, why? He says, you don't need a bracha from me. You're a yeshiva bachur. Go change one little thing about yourself. Improve one thing. And you'll see your sister will have a complete refuah shleima. And the man said to Rav Waxman, I left there and I thought about it. And during the break from learning, I started learning 10 to 15 minutes extra. Just 10, I'm learning all day. But I improved, I said I could do 10 minutes more. And it was very soon after I got a letter from my parents that there was a miracle, the doctors don't understand, my sister had a complete refuah shleimah. One little thing, one little change can change our lives and change the world. Girls, we're sitting here a few days into Elul. Before we know it, you'll see, time flies. Look, it's only a couple days left to camp. You see how quickly time flies. Before you know it, we're going to be sitting in Shul Rosh Hashanah. Let's each and every one of us right now, over this minute, over the next few days, think to ourselves, to have one thing that I'm going to change this year. And it could be in an area that I'm already doing, as we learned. Like Rav Yudin, a tshuva on a mitzvah. But let's not just go through listening to the shofar as thinking that the shofar is a magic drum, or dipping the apple in the honey is a magic drum. Let's each and every one of us change at least a little bit, something this year. And then we show Hashem I care to change. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bless each and every one of us with a ksiv l'chsim ha'tayva, a good gebench year, a year of simcha, a year of bracha, a year of geula and Yeshua for each and every one of us and for all of Klal Yisrael. Have a beautiful rest of the day, everybody.